Okay. So in addition to the high school being built and the classroom surrounding a gym, that again helped develop more resources for youth to be able to have a location to play in, learn in, and do activities in.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they have recently expanded their mosque building of their campus itself, and that has expanded, basically doubled to tripled their numbers of capacity, and also added more space, indoor space, to provide funeral prayers, because beforehand, for the past decades that they've been doing funerals, it was always outside. So if you had a rainy day, it looks like it's a rainy day and you're doing a funeral prayer outside on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I had been to a couple of those.
The rainy days funeral?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the prayer of the funeral was outside too, so like in the rain. So that's what I was saying. But yeah, so you can see the development of mosques plays a big role into where Muslims settle. And in general, usually you see that people move for economic reasons, but this is one of those things. Religion is starting to become a bigger reason for why people move near mosques too. What's your next question?
I was going to ask you about why were people attracted to the religious body? I know you mentioned a little bit about like the...
Yeah. So the reason why people are attracted to a religious body is, first, I would say the biggest reason is kids. You want to be helping cultivate a culture that provides your kids a place to learn and learn some principles that you might not learn in school. That would be behavioral. And in America, it's a very atheistic government, in the fact that there is no religion attached to the government constitution. Well, technically there is, but it's not directly quoting a religion compared to other countries around the world, which is totally fine. It's not bad at all. But what's happening is that more people are losing faith and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And what in turn happens is people are looking for that faith and location where they can go to help their kids, their next generation, keep that culture intact. So you can see America as like a place where people of different cultures come to, but then they have to work themselves to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not self-provided by the government compared to like a Middle Eastern country or another Muslim country or any Christian country too, because you could see that the governments over there are providing these resources, and when people go inside a mosque, the mosque is only to go to pray for, not to provide youth activities or something like that. They just go, do their prayer, and leave. Compared to what's going on in the U.S. right now with Muslim institutions and prayer spaces, they're not only being used as prayer spaces, they're also being used as youth event locations, funeral prayer locations. You're also seeing a lot more interactive activities happening. So the role of mosques in America is a lot more, I would say, weight-bearing, and the responsibilities of a mosque in America has a lot more responsibilities than one you would find in other countries.
Mm-hmm. How did your membership and participation affect your own private life outside the religious group?
Which one was that?
Like,
was your behavior affected by the group's idea?
Like, was your behavior affected by the group's idea?
I'm just reading
the member changed it.
So, to answer this question, you have to know that once the Islamic Center of Johnson County was first instituted, my house was probably one of the closest houses right off the back. It was still a little bit farmland, and since the past 20 years, I would say, there's been more development happening and more houses being built around the mosque. But right off the back, when the mosque was built, my house in my family was the closest thing to it. Mm. Meaning, we were attached to this building through another way than just spiritually. It was like more of, hey, this is going to be our home too. But it ended up being our home one and our own house being home too. Mm-hmm. So we would spend a ton of time at the mosque and maintaining the mosque and doing general management for the mosque. Even though I wasn't on the board, my dad was on the board at one point, but then he also left. But till today, we have been basically the caretakers, you can say, of the mosque. And if there's any questions or any problems, any thing that needs to be done, my family has been one of those families that have been to, like, go to. Like, even sometimes the board of the mosque itself has to come to us to answer, have some questions answered. So based off of that, yes, my life has been affected by the group's ideas, and being a member, I would say, has developed me, and that's how I understand the mosque to be, like, some place where I was grown, and I'm a product of the mosque. Now, I wouldn't say that I am a representative of the mosque. I'm a product of what has the mosque been through. So as far as representing the mosque, I would say that's a lot harder to answer, considering I've never had like an official position that they can say, like, if there's anything that needs to be done, I know how to do it at the mosque.
But you were never like a board member or...
Yep, I was never a board member. I was a youth board member and president, but at the same time, I take that with a little grain of salt because, again, I was part of the mosque at some point.
That's right. What kinds of practices were involved in the group? Is there like rituals and ceremonies you want to talk about?
So, yes, there were a lot of... So rituals, I wouldn't say... We'd say prayer space is the biggest one because we pray five times a day, and it would happen five times a day. That being in the small mosque during the 2 feet of snow, my dad and I would go and pray by ourselves. Or that'd be today, where we see about 100 people for every prayer. It's crazy to believe that how much development that we've had since then. So now ceremonies, yes, we do weddings. And we've always done like wedding certificate signing since the beginning, but more of ceremonies, like big gatherings, like 300 people gatherings have been become a more regular thing recently just because of the amount of space we have now. So we got weddings, we got like birth of kid, first birthdays, we got a lot going on. So like youth activities, that's more of a weekly thing. And now, more recently, in the past 2 years, we've been doing blood drives. We've been doing interfaith events with other people of faith for the past couple of years. And non-religious activities, I would say, like tours of the mosque, which is more interesting because there's one side where people are usually... emailing us, hey, can we schedule a date to come, and we let them come anytime and have someone there to help them out. But then we also have people that just show up during Friday prayers and say, hey, I want to watch a Friday prayer. And those are the most fun ones because in high school, I would show up to Friday prayers, and then my dad would be standing outside the mosque because he would sell, he would be doing a bake sale. My dad would say, hey, there's a new person here, can you sit down with them? And it became like a thing of mine, especially after Trump got elected, where we are seeing more non-Muslims show up to Friday prayers unannounced. So it became like one of my jobs unofficially to help sit with them, answer any questions they had after the sermon, because you can't talk during the sermon on Friday. And Friday prayers are basically basically Sunday church prayers. So for us, they're on Fridays at noon, ish.